There's more than one way to have a pretty view through your window. You could sit where I am and look at Alia all day, for example. You could move to a mountain or a lake, or you could put that mountain or lake right into the window pane itself. Stained glass is an ancient art that's come a long way. Arts columnist Jillian Richards learned the craft from a local artist and is here to shine the light on how it's done. Good morning, Jillian.
Good morning, Chris.
Now, stained glass has been around a long, long time. How did it develop over the centuries?
Well, the art has been around since the Egyptian times, and the early Romans used to use it in small amounts. So the process of making glass involved melting sand and potash, which would turn clear when cooled. And for color, metallic powders were added into the glass mixture or painted as a glaze on top. And of course, they use lead to solder all the pieces together, which is still carries on today.
Now, the first stained glass windows were, I mean, now they're quite incredibly elaborate, but the first ones were, you said they were small, but were the color schemes simple?
It was simple. Early designs were mostly just a couple shapes, a couple colors, and you'd really only find them in villas and palaces because it was for the wealthy. And it wasn't until basically the Gothic period where they used them in churches everywhere that it sort of grew in popularity, and it became a way to tell stories and sort of educate the masses.
When did it make the leap from those, you know, those villas and cathedrals where all the money was located into regular home? I mean, you see stained glass, if you walk down Bernard Avenue in Cologne, you see all kinds of it. When did it make that leap?
The art died down after medieval times, and then advances in technology in the industrial age sort of made the tools and the glass readily available, and it became a big part of Art Nouveau, which is a movement in the late 1800s. And you would probably recognize one of the pieces from that, which still gets copied today, is the Tiffany lamp, right? The stained glass
of
lamp.
Of course. Yeah, you see them, and knockoffs, plastic ones too, all over the place.
And it's funny, I always thought that meant that the lamp was from Tiffany's, but it was actually named after a stained glass artist whose last name was Tiffany at the time. And now you can make a beautiful piece of stained glass in your own home with a limited number of tools in under a couple hours.
And so is that what you did?
Yeah, so Glenna Turnbull is a writer and a stained glass artist living in Kelowna, and she does some really cool stuff. So she invited me over to learn about how it's done.
How is it done? Something tells me it involves breaking things.
Yes. Oh my God. It was so much fun. Glenna has this studio full of all these beautiful sheets of glass and little scraps and smaller bits and buckets all around. And I got to pick out colors and then make a basic design. And then I had to cut the glass to shape. Have you cut glass before?
I have cut glass, but it's, well, describe it.
Well, you know, you have this little, it's almost like a little pizza cutter that you roll along. And I learned pretty quick that it's a lot easier to just break glass than it is to break it in the direction that you want to go.
Right.
So here's Glenna teaching me, and the noises you hear in the background are the sounds of the cutting and snapping of glass.
I think for me, the favorite thing about glass is the way that it changes in any light that you look at it. You can look at the same piece of glass throughout the day and see a different thing every time you look at it. There. So why don't you try?
Yeah.
Not too hard, but hard enough that you almost like pushing on a pen. And snap. Oh, didn't quite.
Oops. You heard the sound of this of that little tool scoring the glass, and then what happened when you broke it?
Yeah, it was a little bit rough, but then once you use this other, these pliers that sort of snap it into shape, and then it's quite liberating, actually. It gets addictive very fast. And then I fit the pieces together, and you pull them up and down and look at the light shine through them, and it's actually a really beautiful experience, just the process of doing that. And then we went into our backyard and got to solder the pieces together.
Now, does she create designs, like geometric designs, or does she tell stories, or what does she do?
Yeah, there's an element of story to her pieces, and what I think is really cool that Glenna does is she incorporates a whole bunch of other materials, so like slices of agate and fossils, or pieces found in thrift stores, and she takes her inspiration from them.
Sometimes I get inspired by just a piece of glass, like one piece of glass. I'll set off a whole idea, and I'll start laying it out and cutting and working around that one piece of glass. And then when I get to the end, it's that one piece of glass I started with that just doesn't fit and ends up coming out.
And another thing she'll do is, and people commission her to do this for them, is she will take old like crystal bowls and heirlooms and put them into the piece of glass.
You inherit these crystal dishes and they sit in a box in your basement, and they never see the light of day, so it's kind of neat when you can take them out, take one or two really choice pieces, and turn them into a beautiful window. And then you think of that person every day when you look at the window. It's like, oh, there's my Auntie Eleanor hanging in the window.
You know what I would do, though, if Auntie, I'd probably screw up and break Auntie Eleanor's dish into a million pieces. There must always be that risk of kind of destroying before you create.
Yes, it's there's a delicacy to it. And I think that's, it's a hazard, but it's a gift with working with glass, that things will break.
How's that a gift?
Well, okay, so for a piece of fractured or broken glass, if you have it, you can't hide it. So first of all, it's this beautiful sort of scar that lives there. And, you know, it's dangerous. Like you said, it can cut you. So I think if you accept these two things as part of the piece of art, then you're accepting, in a way, its power and its vulnerability, which is ultimately, you know, what we long for in ourselves.
You have to not be afraid of cutting yourself when you're dealing with glass. Glass is sharp. It breaks. I buy Band-Aids in bulk. And so you have to not get overly attached to a piece because sometimes they just break. I had a piece that I loved that I said I would never sell. And in a weak moment, I decided I would let it go. And as I was walking to the car to go take it to the person, I dropped it and it broke. So I keep that piece now as a reminder that if something's not for sale, it's not for sale.
And as it turned out, when we were working on one of the pieces I was using for this creation that I'm going to give to you, it broke and I decided to keep it anyway.
Oh, wow. And you've made, Jillian has just handed me a square. It's about the size of a tea saucer.
Yeah.
But square. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so what? This doesn't look like it broke. What happened?
Just
here?
There on the side. There's a little fracture.
Oh yeah, barely, Jillian.
Right?
Sheesh, you're too critical of yourself. It looks great.
See, you instantly went to acceptance, and I like that about you, Chris. It's an endearing feature. So, and you can see all the little bumpy bits on there. So there's the piece. There's about 5 pieces that I've stuck together with the soldering, and Have you soldered before?
I've soldered, but only just sort of a little electronics, not anything big like this.
Oh my gosh! You have this piece of metal and this hot gun, and you press them together.
I know, isn't it super fun to see
molten,
it melt?
Yeah, oh my great. Goodness! Yeah, it was very cathartic. I think I got to burn my sins away just by doing that. So, like any art form, stained glass is a niche, but I highly recommend if you're a painter, anyone who likes other or quilting, to try with the glass, because you never know if you're going to fall in love. For Glenna, it's been a passion since she made her first cut.
Glass is one of those things, I think it just gets into your soul. Either you love glass or you can take it one way or the other. But I'm going to be at the Craft Culture Show coming up on April 23rd and 24th at the Curling Club. And people who don't like glass will just walk right past my booth. They won't even notice. But somebody that is obsessed with glass the way I am will just stop in their tracks and go, oh, glass! It's not all crosses and you know, little lost lambs anymore. It's just changed with the times, the same way that regular art has.
Jillian, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
This is beautiful. We'll put a picture of this up on our Facebook page as soon as the show is over. Jillian Richards is our arts and culture columnist. If you'd like to get to your hands on some glass and try it like Jillian did, Helga at Fusion Glassworks in Kelowna can set you up with a lesson or two. To see some of Glenna's work, head to the craft fair at the Curling Club on April 23rd or 24th and check her website at glassheart.ca.